الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I am your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program or this Islamic studies class is designed to present what the Islamic faith is and what it is not. I am not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding any faith that you practice. This program is an unapologetic, or is very unapologetic, regarding any authentic Islamic rites and rituals. Please call your friends and let them know that the Islamic studies class is about to begin. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you. You are in class, so you have to be prepared to have your Quran near you, paper, pencil, pen, or some way of taking notes or recording the class. By the way, those of you who have been attending this weekly Islamic studies class, welcome back to class. Those of you who are new listeners or new students, welcome to this weekly Islamic studies class, and I hope that you continue to attend the class and also let other people know about this weekly Islamic studies class. Now, today's topic that we're going to be discussing is continuing the mission of the Prophet, the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. And what do I mean by that? First, you had to understand very briefly what was going on before the Prophet became the Prophet in the area in which he lived. What was going on in that society at the time, and really what's going on right now with mankind. And that is, before the message of Islam came to the people used to bury their young girls alive. They didn't want them. They rejected them. They preferred to have boys instead of girls. And so when a girl was born, this is before Islam, they would bury their girls alive in great disappointment because they were born girls and not boys. People ran around the Kaaba without any clothes on. The Kaaba, that is the cube in Mecca, Saudi Arabia, that we make our rituals, we walk around it, or we pray only towards that direction, but the cube itself is not Allah. We are not worshiping an idol. It's a direction in which Allah told us to, and the Prophet told us to pray in that direction, and all Muslims pray in that direction. The Qibla. We pray in that direction, but we're not worshiping that cube. And people at the time, this cube been around a long time. This Kaaba been around a long time. Kaaba is the spelling of it. And people, when they used to walk around this Kaaba naked. This is before Islam. Before Islam, people worship idols that they made with their own hands. They would sit there and carving idols out of stone or out of wood or out of other different material, and then they would worship it. They knew that Allah exists, but they would use these idols made with their own hands as to intercede for them on behalf of them to Allah, to worship towards these idols as if they were Allah. Matter of fact, once the Prophet, may peace and blessings be upon him, he became a prophet, and they became stronger. More Muslims, more people embraced Islam. They left there from Mecca with a handful of Muslims, and then they came back a few years later with 10,000 Muslims strong. And then the Prophet, may peace and blessings be upon him, he went into the Kaaba. This is after Islam, of course. He went into the Kaaba, and around the Kaaba itself, and inside the copper were like 360 idols made by the hands of the people. And so this was before Islam. Tribes used to fight against each other. Women had absolutely no rights whatsoever. But then, after the advent of Islam and establishment of Islam, and people were clear about the message of the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessing be upon him, these are the things that took place. Idolatry, meaning worship of idols, with absolutely no benefit to it, all that was destroyed. The tribes that had perpetual wars were now united together by the ties of brotherhood, love, and harmony. The Muslim aims were not confined to the earth alone, but there was something beyond the grave, much higher, purer, and diviner, calling them to the practice of charity, goodness, justice, and universal love. This is after Islam. All the things that the people used to do, going around the Kaaba naked, Islam stopped that. The burying of the girls, of the young baby girls, for no reason whatsoever, only that they were just girls, Islam stopped that. The worship of idols that the people made by their own hands, Islam stopped that. The fighting of the tribes of each other, the people against each other, Islam stopped that. And of course, the rights of women, Islam stopped that. Matter of fact, when I give various talks about the women in Islam and the rights of the women in Islam and the rights of men in Islam, I could look high and low and I just see just a little bit of rights pertaining to men. They have their rights, but it's not at fast. It's like endless almost of the rights of women and their right to have this and right to have that, where they didn't have that before Islam. So I just wanted to give you all a picture of what it was like during the time of Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessing be upon him, and what changes came about after he established this beautiful deen of Islam, or the way of Islam, the religion of Islam. Matter of fact, there was much maslaha. Maslaha is just general benefits of the human being. And when Islam was established, it protects the human being's faith, their life, their wealth, their intellect, their offspring. And one imam, he added the honor of people. So this is what Islam did once it came on the scene during that time, and it continues until this day, protecting and great benefit to human beings, the maslaha, great benefit of human beings to their faith, to life, to wealth, to their intellect, and their offspring, and also honoring the human beings. They could now see or perceive that Allah was not that which they have carved out of wood and stone, but almighty, loving, merciful, and also the creator of the universe. So once the establishment of Islam, people were more clear-eyed. They could see for themselves that, no, don't put these things, these idols, or these people between yourself and Allah. We worship directly to Allah. We dial direct. We don't have to have anything to intercede on our behalf to say, oh, idol so-and-so, or person so-and-so. No, we go directly to Allah and ask him about what we need and what we want and what we desire. The Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessing be upon him, he delivered this message in what sometimes they call the last sermon. On his return of the sacred month of the pilgrimage, the Prophet, may peace and blessing be upon him, he basically presented this particular sermon to the people. He presented this sermon, his farewell sermon in Mecca. And then this is what he said. He said this. He said, "O people, listen to my words, for I know not whether another year will be granted to me after this year to find myself among you. Your lives and property are sacred and unbreakable among one another until you appear before the Lord, as this day and this month are sacred for all. And remember, you will have to appear before your Lord, who will demand from you an account for all your actions, O people." You have rights over your wives, and your wives have rights over you. Verily, you have taken them on a security of Allah, and have made their persons lawful unto you by the words of Allah. And your slaves, they had slaves back there during that time, see that you feed them with such food as you eat yourselves, and clothe them with the stuff you wear. And if they commit a fault which you are not inclined to forgive, then part with them, for they are the servants of the Lord, and are not to be harshly treated. O people, listen to my words and understand them. Know that all Muslims are brothers. You are one brotherhood. But no man shall take aught from his brother unless by his free consent. Keep yourselves from injustice. Let him who is present tell this to him who is absent. It may be that he who is told this afterwards may remember better than he who has now heard it. The Prophet concluded his sermon by exclaiming, O Allah, I have fulfilled my message and accomplished my work. And the assembly, meaning a multitude, all in one voice said, Yes, verily you have. The Prophet again exclaimed, O Lord, I beseech you, bear witness to it. And the Prophet Muhammad said, may peace and blessings be upon him, he said it three times. And the people bear witness that he had delivered the message to the people. That was his job, to deliver the message, revelation revealed from Allah over 23 years, 13 years in Mecca, and 10 years in Medina, delivering the message of Islam to the people. And Allah says in one verse, he said, O messenger, announce that which has been revealed to you from your Lord. And if you do not, then you have not conveyed his message. And Allah will protect you from the people. Indeed, Allah does not guide the disbelieving people. And so you see from this particular verse that Allah told him to reveal to the people my message. And if you do not, you have not conveyed my message to the people. That's your job, to tell the people about me, about getting on Sirat al-Mustaqim, getting on the straight path. If you don't do that, you have not conveyed the message. And then he also said, look, don't worry about the people. Allah will protect you from the people. They're going to say and do various things to you, which I'll talk about that later on. But don't worry about that. I will protect you. And he does not guide disbelieving people. If people choose to disbelieve after they heard the message, that's it. That's their choice. And they're going to pay for that choice that they made. Either my students, you can believe or you can disbelieve. Those are your choices. No, nothing in between. And so I advise you to believe in Allah. Don't believe that mankind will be able to save you, because they can, because it's going to come a day where you may end up in the hellfire, or we may end up in the hellfire, and then the person who used to guide you or misguide you may be there too. And then we may ask the question, wait a minute now, didn't you tell us not to do such and such, such and such, such and such? Why are you here? And then he'll say, or she'll say, well, I used to tell you to not to do such and such or say such and such, but I did that myself. And so that's why I'm here. Because really, I did not do what I told you to do. I did the opposite of what I told you to do. And then after the Prophet, may peace and blessings be upon him, delivered his sermon, not too long after that, Allah took his soul. And after the death of the Prophet, this is what happened. So everyone would understand who the Muslims worship and who they do not worship. And it says, after this, meaning basically the Prophet made his last prayer, the Prophet never appeared in public prayers. A few hours after he returned from the mosque, the Prophet died while laying his head on the bosom of Aisha, meaning one of his wives. As soon as the prophet's death was announced, a crowd of people gathered at the door of the house of Aisha, exclaiming, "How can our messenger be dead?" Umar said, "No, he is not dead. He will be restored to us. And those are tyrants to the cause of Islam who say that he is dead. If they say so, let them be cut in pieces." Umar was angry. He was mad. This is the second Khalifa of Islam, the third leader of the Muslims. And he said, this was a man at one point, he wanted to kill the Prophet until he found out more about Islam and start reading about Islam. And then he ended up embracing Islam and loved the Prophet. It was the man that once was the enemy of the Prophet and became so beloved to the Prophet, to the point that he told people, "Look, anyone that says that the Prophet is dead, I'm going to hurt you. I'm going to cut you." But Abu Bakr entered the house at this moment, and after he had touched the body of the Prophet with a demonstration of profound affection, some say that he removed the cover from his head, Prophet's head, and then kissed him on the forehead. And so this is one of the ways of showing the affection towards this beautiful man, Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessing be upon him. He appeared at the door and addressed the crowd with the following speech: "O Muslims, if any of you has been worshiping Muhammad, then let me tell you that Muhammad is dead. But if you really worship Allah, know that Allah is living and will never die. Do you forget the verse in the Quran?" And this is going to be chapter 3, verse 144. So go ahead and turn to that page now, my students. Turn your Quran to chapter 3, verse 144. And I'm just going to be like rough translation of that particular chapter and that particular verse. So again, chapter 3, verse 144. And it says, "Muhammad is no more than a messenger, and indeed many messengers have passed away before him. If he dies or is killed, would you then turn back on your heels as disbelievers? And he who turns back on his heels, not the least harm will he do to Allah, and Allah will give reward to those who are grateful." Upon hearing this speech of Abu Bakr, Umar acknowledged his error, and the crowd was satisfied and dispersed. And so I want to present to you some verses from Quran about Allah mentioning about the message of Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him. And it says in chapter 13, verse 40. That's chapter 13, verse 40. So hopefully you'll be able to get to that chapter real quickly. And it says, "O Muhammad, whether we let you see within your lifetime a part of what we threaten them with, or cause you to die before we smite them, your message is only to deliver the message. Your mission is only to deliver the message, and it is for us to take accountability." So the mission of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing upon him, was to deliver the message from Allah, the revelation from Allah, the wahi from Allah, which is revelation from Allah, deliver that to the people and guide the people and reshape the people and change their paradigm, their thinking of the people from the way they were thinking before Islam to the new paradigm, the new thinking, way of thinking about Islam and dealing with people and protecting the people's lives and the benefit of Quran and Sunnah and the objectives of the Sharia, which is a Maqasid Sharia, which is the helping of the people to guide the people properly. The objective of the Sharia is to, or the Islamic law, is to change the behavior of the people and to benefit the people, the maslaha, to benefit the people and guide the people properly and protect the people, to protect their honor and their life and their faith and their wealth and the like that I mentioned earlier. Also, let's go to the next verse, which is verse 38 or chapter, I'm sorry, chapter 38, verse 60. Again, chapter 38, verse 60. And it says, O prophet, tell them, my mission is only as a warner. There is no divinity except Allah, the one, the irresistible. Again, Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, he's saying to the people, my mission is only as a warner. There is no divinity except Allah. He was not divine, and nothing else is divine. No other creature, creation of Allah, is divine except Allah. And he is one, and he is the irresistible. And so I want to mention to my students that Muslims, and that we have to continue to deliver the message of Islam to the people, because the people are still killing children for no reason whatsoever. There are many stories, in particularly here in America, where people kill their children. I don't know where my children are. Or they drown them, or put them in a car and drown them in the water, and say that someone else, this other minority group, a member came and they took my children, or they killed my children, or they killed my pregnant wife, or any of these kinds of things. So killing of children is still going on today, and Islam forbids that, and we're against that kind of behavior. And the rights of the people are being taken away all over the world. Well, you see in various countries where the rights of various individuals are being taken away. Or people are being whipped and they're being beat. Or their property being taken from them. Or their business are being burnt. Or their cars are being burnt. Or their families are being destroyed. Or their women are being raped. Or they're put in jail for no reason whatsoever, except that they are different than other people. Or that they are Muslim. And so they are put in camps and tortured. And so people are doing these kind of things today. And people are still worshiping idols and other forms of Allah's creation. And women are still being abused all over the world. No matter where you go in the world, and it doesn't matter the level of education of the individual and their position, the women, they are still abusing the women throughout the world. And there is, of course, an influx of fornication and adultery still exists. And people having sex with another person that they're not married to, or they're married and they're committing adultery and having sex outside of their marriage, or people are not married and they're having sex with each other. This kind of thing is going on, and that's going against the principle and the morale of human beings, of society. And Islam is here to straighten that out. And to inform people this is not right. Allah forbids this kind of thing from taking place. Most people who follow various religions, it says in their own faith, don't do these things. And still, people do these things. Now, some Muslims might say that if I continue to deliver the message of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, people will attack me if I start talking about Islam. Okay, we can't really worry about that. And people who are listening to it, my students, don't worry about embracing Islam. Oh, the people are going to be against me. They may be against you anyway. And so why not? Try Islam out. Learn more about Islam. But also remember that the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him, and him delivering a message, that he went through a lot. He and his followers, they went through a lot. And because he was threatening with death. They boycotted him and his followers, meaning they did not sell during the time when he was delivering his message in Mecca, that people would not sell anything to him. They made sure that any caravan that came to the city of Mecca, they stopped them outside of Mecca and brought up everything to make sure none of this stuff got to the Muslim. No bread, no water, or nothing got to the Muslim. So they boycotted against them. To some Muslims were eating leaves and other things in order to try to survive the famine or what they were going through, because people were protesting then boycotting them only because they were Muslim. And of course, wars were made against the Muslims, or fought against the Muslim, and fought against the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon them. They tried to bribe him. They told the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him. They said to him, look, if you want women, we give you women. If you want to be the ruler, we let you be the ruler. If you want land, we give you land. And then he mentioned that you put the moon in one hand and the sun in the other hand. I will not give up my message that I have to do. And my mission, I have to do, delivering the message to the people. I will not do that. So they try to bribe him with worldly things. He said, no, I don't want those things. I'm here to deliver the message of Allah. And he did not want Allah to destroy him because he had a mission to deliver the message of Islam to the people. They tortured and they killed the followers of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. Also, they tried to kill him several times. And also, they killed his uncle. And his family members were even against him. So one of his uncles hated him. The fact that he was delivering the message to the people, the kind of message he was delivering to the people, he hated him. For doing that. The prophet was choked while he was making prayer. Garbage was thrown upon the prophet while he was making prayer. They thought or called him a crazy man. He was mad and that he was a man possessed. And they even harmed him or pelted him with stones. I had the children pelt him with stones until blood ran down into his shoes. But Allah, he says to us as Muslims, and this is going to be in chapter 3, verse 104. Again, chapter 3, verse 104. And he said to us, let there arise out of you a group of people inviting to all that is good, meaning Islam, and joining all that Islam orders and forbidding all that Islam has forbid. And it is they who are the successful. That Allah encouraging us, those who believe, Muslim, those who want that we stand up for what is right, that we tell people for about Islam and what is right about Islam and forbidding what is wrong in the world and encouraging people to do right. That's all that we're doing as Muslims. That is our basic mandate. Is that we enjoy what is right and forbid what is wrong. And that's it. No more than that. Allow us to worship. You worship how you worship, and we worship how we worship. Lakum dinakum waliyadin. Is that to you your way and to us our way. That's all that we're saying. We're not going to disturb you in the way that you worship, and don't disturb us the way that we worship. Even during the time in Medina, that Muslims were there, Christians were there, Jewish people were there, and the Jewish and the Christian people, they were allowed to worship as they wanted to worship. No problem. Muslims were the dominant people inside of that city of Medina, but they did not stop the people from worshiping. Matter of fact, even during wartime, we cannot go and destroy vegetation or block the highways or even destroy people's places of worship. We're not allowed to do that. None of us are allowed to do anything like that, even during wartime, because we have different mandates during wartime of things we can do and things we cannot do. Even towards any prisoners, when people attack us, not that we go around making wars. That's not the Islamic way. Is that when people want to come to us and bring war to us, then we fight them. We have no choice. Any human being, in order to survive, they have to fight for their survival. It's like they did in various countries. Those who are listening to me in your various countries, people had to fight in order to survive. Otherwise, they will be destroyed or dominated by those who want to destroy and dominate them for whatever reason. Take their land, take their property, destroy their culture, and different things like that. And you all know exactly what I'm talking about. And so Islam is only here to enjoin what is right and forbid what is wrong. And so we had to continue the message of Islam to the people. That is our mandate. And I encourage my students to learn more about Islam. Get the authentic books and authentic information about Islam. You go to www.whyislam.org. That's why Islam, one word, whyislam.org, and you can find us some authentic information about Islam and Islamic faith. And so my students, understand that the message of Islam has to continue because it changes societies for the better. Before it's the advent of Islam, I explained to you what took place, what was taking place. But then when Islam came on the scene, Islam took care and changed all those things. The rights of women and the way people treated each other, and creating a brotherhood and the like, and got people away from worshiping idols and worshiping the creation of Allah, and worshiping instead the creator, which was or is Allah forever, from this day, today, tomorrow, and today, I'm sorry, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Allah is alive forever. As Abu Bakr said to the people, if you worship Muhammad, know that he is dead. But those who worship Allah, know that Allah is everlasting. He will always be around. And he is creator of all that we see and all that we don't see. You have been attending the Islamic Faith and Focus class. I have been your instructor, your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. And understanding anything that I talk about that is correct is from Allah and His Messenger, may peace and blessings be upon him. Anything that's incorrect is from myself, and ask for forgiveness from Allah for any mistake that I made. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.